Every hero is on their own challenge. We can put some picture there. If you are one, or you find out that you can have or have the power like one of those, they call superheroes. What you want to be called, or what you want to do? To be a main star of the show, we call the hero, or the rival, or adversary. Last Sunday, Brother Israel brought us the sermon and called out why a savior. Mention about the protagonist and the main star and antagonist, the rival. And in most cases, the protagonist become the savior. Savior, someone who saved or something saved from danger. You can be a hero. As a simple man, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, as a mother, as a friend. You can be a hero. And today, I want to challenge you, every one of us, how can be a hero. We celebrate Christmas because of birth of the baby. As a baby, he can do anything. But did not stop there as a baby. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This morning we talk about a Jesus, a man, but it's not just like a man. Jesus became a superhero after he died on the cross, rose from the dead, and back to heaven. But he left us a challenge. In John chapter 14, verse 2 to 4, "In my Father's house are many rooms." In New King James, said a mansion. If there were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Today, let's consider this coming year. I know most people, they have a New Year resolution. Some people do, some people don't. This is one of our New Year resolution, if you do. And a new challenge for everyone Christian, individual and as a church. And this is not negotiable. Evangelism, back to basic. Every day we have a different challenge. And every challenge we face, we want the victory. But it's not easy. In every competition, you need a lot of effort. Winning is not easy to get. Sometimes you need to go back to basic. I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is a challenge for us today. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." In my work, every time my boss put me in the situation to train the new people, how they do their work, I always teach them the basics. Because it's so important to know and we have a knowledge how to do. When Christ was about to leave his team and return to heaven, he left them and us with the challenge to be his witnesses, not only at home, but also to the very end of the earth. A few days earlier on a mountain in Galilee, he had left us the great commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, not some, that I have commanded you. And lo, there's a pause. This is a promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." His commission to us was explicit. We are to make disciples by leading people to Christ. We are to mark these new disciples through baptism. And then we are to mature them. He said, mature them by teaching them to observe all those things Christ commanded. All those things Christ commanded. Next section. And immediately after, before his ascension back to heaven, Jesus stood on another mountain in Judea. There, he reinforces great commission by calling upon a small group to take his good news to whole nation, not simply to a few locals. It is a basic tenet of the Christian faith that we are all to be his witnesses to a lost and dying world around us. The call to evangelism or to sharing the good news of Christ is one of the most basic callings of the New Testament. Since the last word of those who leave us are always intriguing and important, let us check this parting challenge from the lips of our Lord and seek to apply it in our lives. I have some question to bring here today. Who will bring this good news? If you go back to our text, Acts 1, chapter 8, he said, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." He said, "You, including me." And this challenge to take the gospel to the world is what Jesus gives to all of us. 2 verses earlier, the disciples had tried to sidetrack the issue by asking questions regarding when Jesus will return and restore the kingdom. But Jesus did not say, "You shall be my church makers or date keepers, but my witnesses. All of you, none of us are exempted. Even you're listening today, even you're sleeping, or even your mind is outside there, you are not exempt today. You are not exempted for this command from our God. None of us exempt from this basic element of Christian living, that is to share the good news. And what? How? Let's go back again to the text. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You shall receive what? Power. This is a great need of believers today. We all need power to live the Christian life. Perhaps the greatest difference between the first century church and the 21st century church is summarized in two words: influence or connection and power. Today, we pride ourselves on our influence and power. We seek to influence the decaying culture around us in various ways, but the early church did not have enough power or influence, to keep their leader Simon Peter out of prison. They were virtually void of influence with the civil and legal authorities. But the more important news is they had enough power to pray him out of prison. Jesus used a word for power from which we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. We need this power to be his witnesses. The book of Acts is the story of a group of men and women just like you and me. Despite all the bigotry and bias of the Roman rule, world went out from a little upper room to tell the story of a publicly executed Jews, this Jesus. They did so much with so little. How? They had a dynamite nature about them. They had received power from on high. When this power came upon the group of believers, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them, there's no such thing as a Christian without power. When you receive Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. He takes up residence in you. Thus, you have a power. This month, it's happened twice, but the same problem. DJ and Melissa called me. It's a different time, but same problem, same issue. DJ called me early morning and said, Dad, I'm here in a gasoline station. I want to put the gas. After I put the gas, my car didn't start. Don't start. I said, what? What happened? There's no me. Oh, they're full of gas. And the same thing happened like after a few days. Lisa called me. I'm still in Manhattan. I'm in the bus. Dad, I'm here in a bus station. I said, what happened? Why? I went to buy a metro card. Then, when I come back to car, they don't start. I said, what happened? Then I realized the same problem. There's no power. There's a battery, but there's no power. The solution, you need to jump. You need to have a battery with full power. Because that car useless, they cannot transport you anywhere until you start the car. I think of the car when I read this verse. Many church members get all dressed up and are ready to go out and witness, but they never seem to get started. Why? We are in need of power, or we are in need in a power to ourselves to energize us. Why? Why we need the Holy Spirit? Why we need this power? The Holy Spirit enables us to be witnesses. This is the very reason why we have power of Holy Spirit. To be his witnesses, There should be no such thing as a Christian who is not a witness. Let me ask you today, are you saved? Are you saved? Yes. If we are saved, we have Christ. Amen? If we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if we have Holy Spirit, we have power. And if we have power, we'll be Jesus' witnesses. Nobody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord did not call us, or did not call any of us, to be a judge, sitting in condemnation of others around us. He did not call us to be the prosecuting attorney, pointing our fingers of accusation at others. He did not call us to be the defense attorney, seeking to find loopholes so others could get passed to the law. He did not call us to be the jury, weighing all sorts of evidence for and against someone else. He called us to simply tell others what we have seen and heard from first-hand experience. That is to be his witnesses. We are not recruiters trying to get people to join our clubs. We are not to be salesmen trying to persuade others to buy our product. We are simply to be Jesus' witnesses. People marvel that God entrusted His Holy Gospel to such common men and women, void of formal training. But they were true witnesses. Incidentally, the word translate witness is the same word from which we get our English word, martyr. These early believers were witnesses or martyr in the truest sense. Many of them lost their lives because of their uncompromising witness of Christ. Now the question is where we need to evangelize or bring the good news. Jesus told us, if we go back to our text, Jesus told us to take his good news across the city, across the country, across the continent, yes, across the intercosmos. Here is a total participation. All of us are to be witnesses. And here is a total penetration. We are to go to the end of the earth. This is the one reason we support the mission. Because we cannot go there. Just in case it happened, we can go there. We can go to the end of the earth. How about those people come here? We still have a job. We need to be witness to them. We don't know what can happen next year or the following year. How many people, how many refugees coming in this world and this country? Still, we have a job. We need to be witness to them. Yeah? Some people consider their enemy. But what he said? Love your enemies. Because the gospel will never find its final destination until it's shared with every person on the planet. In 30 short years, those early believers fulfilled Acts chapter 1, verse 8. How? They were empowered by the Holy Spirit and with singleness of purpose. Witness His saving grace in Jerusalem and Judea in Samaria and to the end of the world. They did not play leapfrog with this commission. They did not pass hundreds of witnessing opportunities in their own city in order to go to the end of the earth. They began at home. Where's your home? Our home. Staten Island's our home. This is our Jerusalem. Christ's gospel is to penetrate the whole world until every religion is confronted. Every error exposed and every received a witness. Yes, it is a huge task. But think about those early believers. Their assignment seemed geographically impossible. Most people still believe the world was flat. Their assignment appeared to be physically impossible if you compare this new generation. What we have, this new generation, if you compare the last first century. It seems legally impossible. They were forbidden by government authorities to speak in Jesus' name. And it seems socially impossible. After all, who would really listen to these scrubby Galileans or the apostles to avoid culture and class? Yet, people did listen. They were witness to the power of Holy Spirit. They did so much with so little. And we seem to do so little with so much. The time has come for the modern church to get back to basic. To follow the early believers' example and fulfill Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In our lifetime as well. The team's coming up, the worship team. It's time to go for the greater challenge of our life. This command is from the greatest commander-in-chief. It's not from the president of the United States or other country. It's from Jesus, our God, the most powerful and greatest hero. Now, you want to be a real hero? Then get back to the basic of being Jesus' witness by making disciples, marking them by baptism, and teaching them to observe all he has commanded. Every simple man confess their sin and accept Jesus. If you do that, you are a hero. Let me read this. I want to leave you this. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One person, and you are a hero. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the word that you bring us today. Thank you for the challenge that we have this coming year. God, hopefully this one to consider our challenge. And we want to accept your challenge. But we believe that your Holy Spirit and your power be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.